listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive, because this ain't 1823. It ain't even 1970. Now, I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with the rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good, gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood, gonna ring it, gonna sing it, till it's understood, my rap's about to happen like a knee you were slapping or a toe been tapping on a hunk of wood. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Ha 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 ha. With your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Crowdcast right now. On the 4th of July, man. So, I mean, no days off, you know, y'all niggas gotta go to work, so might as well go to work as well, you know, so you guys could continue to work in bliss, man. Mm-hmm. It would be right there beside you going through it together.
Yes, we gonna make it.
Of course, you can find us on the blackouttips.com, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Just search the Blackout Tips, we'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the show on Saturday when we do our feedback show. The motto of the show is nothing's wrong if it's funny. Mm-hmm. And the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. At the day marks day 565 that Bobby Schmurter's been locked up on $2 million bail. Can't get it reduced. So he's staying his ass in prison. Mm-hmm. 2 years almost. And today is also Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Very controversial holiday, Independence Day.
Yeah, it is.
You know, as I like to call all holidays since the advent of social media, it's the day that people tell you why there's nothing to celebrate
at all. Right? You can't celebrate shit.
Right? Like, what happened to that?
I just got the day off. Honestly, I don't give a fuck who's celebrating what. I get paid to stay my ass at home. I'm cool with it.
That might be the one thing I hate about social media. Like, I don't really hate much about social media. It's been real good to me, but that might be the one thing. Is like, now every kid that mom bought them Before the Mayflower and What Color Was Jesus wants to get on their soapbox and dictate to the rest of y'all how these holidays ain't shit. Like, we didn't know America ain't shit. Like, we can't live every single day and look around at the news and be like, oh yeah, this country ain't shit.
Hey babe, refresh.
I need to refresh. Okay, give me a second. Yeah, okay, it sounds statically. All right, cool, because I like static. I was trying to keep it kind of staticky sounding. That's the new sound for the show, but apparently the audience doesn't like that, you know. Personally, when it comes to static, I say don't start none and it won't be none. Okay, Static Shock was my favorite hero from the DC universe, so you know, a lot of this is their fault, really. If y'all wouldn't have started no static in the chat room, it wouldn't be no static. So how about that? So, but yeah, everybody turns into like the same smartest kid in school when it comes to this shit.
Nobody liked.
Right, that nobody likes, like. Here we go.
You hear that, boy? That's what Christmas is all about.
Actually, Granddad, Christmas is a pagan holiday. And Jesus probably hates you for celebrating it.
There ain't gonna be no Scrooges in this house, boy.
Look, Granddad, it's clear from the scripture that Jesus was not born in winter. The shepherds who saw the angels announcing his birth would not have been out in their fields in December. The Palestinian winters are too cold, if you believe in that sort of thing. The truth is, Christmas evolved from the Roman holiday Saturnalia, a winter festival where men gave gifts to each other. They also would get drunk, have sex with each other, and beat their wives. People would act so crazy on Christmas, the holiday was outlawed by the Protestant Church until the 1800s. As a matter of fact, the United States Congress... Granddad?
I'm sorry, boy. What was that?
I just explained the entire history of Christmas.
But it was boring, Huey. You just blah, blah, gay sex, blah, blah, Congress. Ah! You know, you gotta be interesting.
That really is every fucking holiday on Twitter.
Mm-hmm,
and Facebook.
I really don't care. Like, yeah. I hate to be like that. Yeah, I don't care. You know, I'm still gonna eat these turkey legs for Thanksgiving. I'm still gonna go, you know, watch the fireworks. You know, I know the history, and I could be disappointed and feel a certain way about it, but it don't mean I can't celebrate it and still be mad at the shit we celebrating.
Yeah, I'm not even mad. Like, isn't what mad at what now at this point? You know what I mean? Like, at this point, what's left to be mad about? It's honestly, I think people feel like they showing how much smarter they are than everybody else. True. Like, I know the real history. It's like, so do I, but I'm still want this day off work and I'm gonna eat these hot dogs though.
Right.
So
my job gonna pay me, dog. I don't care. I don't want to not go to work because you got the problem.
Like, I get it. Chuck D's my favorite rapper as well. You know,
I mean, not go to work. I mean, I won't not have a day off because you got a problem. If that's the case, we wouldn't have no fucking holidays if we allotted it up to all these people.
No, I hope, you know, that they are getting the word out and that people are listening. Maybe somebody's learning something they never knew, but at this point, it feels like it's the same every holiday. So it's like, is anybody learning shit? Cause it's always like, did you see the paragraph that they took out that was anti-slavery in the Declaration of Independence? No, I didn't see the paragraph. But let me guess. They took it out because they wanted to keep having slaves. It's not hard to believe, y'all.
I don't put anything past this country.
Yeah. Like, if anything surprising, they thought of it at some point. You know, I could have Googled it. You know, I'm good. But it's always like, you know, did you see Frederick Douglass and his speech about Independence Day and how hypocritical it is? Mm-mm. Did you see Chris Rock's tweets last year? I mean, we know. You know, when we watch dead bodies on the ground all the time, we get it, bro.
Right.
It's some bullshit. This is kind of welcome to America. It has always been and will continue to be some bullshit when it comes to our highfalutin morals when we actually live way down here in the dungeon.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was more honestly disappointed in a more recent lie that America's been told. I don't know if anybody else has gone through this, but I tried to go to the movies and I had to come back home, man, because, well, I just, public service announcement for y'all listening, if any of y'all go to the movies, bring money with you. If you want to see the newest Matthew McConaughey movie, it's not free at all.
No, it's not.
It should be called the $12.50 State of Jones, because that's false advertising, bro. I came up there and was like, one ticket to the free State of Jones. Mm-mm. And they was like, that'll be $12.50. I was like, excuse me. I'm pretty sure it said free. Like, I don't know if it's like a reparations advertising campaign y'all doing, but it's supposed to be the free State of Jones. And they was like, no, it's not.
It
you can come
like
back
that.
During the matinee and it'll you be sure the $7.50 State of Jones. All and right. I was like, no. I don't want to see this movie for pay. I'm not paying to see this white man lie about history. Come on now. I watched those for free. But apparently not. Oh well. I hope everybody had a good 4th though.
Me too.
No, we watched the White House celebrate the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Janelle Monáe.
The blackest way possible, and she was giving me life.
Mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar. We missed Kendrick, but we got to see Janelle. And that dude, Jandita, whatever his name is, that does
Classic
Man.
I just call him Classic Man. I don't know the man.
Ain't that
name.
His name? Like, he really could be a Marvel superhero at this point.
Yeah.
The Classic Man.
And that's all I call him, the Classic Man. And all I know is he in his 20s and look like he 45.
Show up solving fashion faux pas.
Yes.
Brothers, take all the buttons off of these vests. I'm a Classic Man.
Yes! I see your pants split. Give me a thread and a needle. I'm a Classic Man.
Who was that dude that helped walk that old lady across the street? Oh, that's Classic Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's old school. Mm-hmm. Could fix a carburetor, everything. Just a classic gentleman. All right, let's talk about news, guys. All kinds of stuff has been going on in the news lately. You know, you would think it's the 4th. Why would things continue to happen? Right? It's Independence Day. Can we just all take the day off
Mm-mm.
of newsing it up and trying to do things?
No.
Apparently, the world would not cooperate with these plans.
It still keeps ticking. Hey.
There is something I wanna ask you. There's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answers. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
Oh shit. That's right, y'all, LGBTQ news. Which means mostly it's going to be bad news. So at least you got the song, right? At least you got the song. Like,
yeah, we played the song to soften the blow.
Don't look a gift song in the mouth. Mm-mm. Or don't look a gay song in the mouth.
No,
okay.
Don't.
You just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope has advised Christians to ask forgiveness from the nearest gay people.
Mm-hmm. What?
Find you a gay person and you get to asking them for some forgiveness. All right.
What happened if you, and I try to find what happened if you ask them and you just assume that they're gay and they're not gay?
I want to know, why is my job if I'm gay?
Right.
That's like saying white person turn to the nearest Negro and ask for forgiveness. No, nigga. Mm-mm. No.
I'm not the one you need to be asking.
This is not my job. That's not what I'm about to be doing. Rod, I just want you to forgive me for the racism I've experienced. Hey, bro, can you get your hand off of me? You're getting too close.
In the personal space.
You already kind of fucked up the infinite nigga dap. The intricate dap that we do. Now you all up on my shoulder. Come on, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, an hour-long convo with reporters on the plane. An hour-long convo with reporters on the plane. He said that the Roman Catholic Church should seek forgiveness directly from gay people. I think the church not only should apologize to a gay person whom it offended, but it must also apologize to the poor as well, to the women who have been exploited, to the children who have been exploited by being forced to work. It must apologize for having blessed so many weapons.
You need to apologize to itself, because there's a lot of gay men in the group that been fucking them the boys.
Those people are pedophiles. That is not the same as being gay.
Well,
but
some of them are gay, not all of them.
Yeah, there are some priests that are gay, right? Yes, but that ain't necessarily
but yeah, I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that intersection ain't the same.
No, it's not.
But yeah, these motherfuckers really serious, dog. Uh-huh. So you might get pulled up about on Ash Wednesday or something if you gay. I wonder if any of them went to pride marches and shit. Excuse me. Excuse me, buddy, sir. Excuse me. Can I talk to you for a second? Hey, I just really got something on my heart and I just really want to talk, real quick. I'm a Catholic,
and I wonder, does this only apply to men? How about women?
No, women too. I mean, anyone gay. He didn't
specify. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't specify. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm just imagining, it's gonna be a lot of people for the first time walking up in some places they never been.
They ain't gonna know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. They'll be walking to the bar. excuse me, can I talk to you for a second? Sir, can you stop dancing? Put down the glow sticks real quick. I just would like to apologize.
Apologize for what?
Just for the Catholic Church and all the things that we have done to y'all.
Oh, I can take you to church. Come out, baby.
I'm not here to dance. I just want to say I'm so sorry. And can you just stop dancing for a second?
Hey, Jimmy, he want to dance with us. He wants to take him to church.
No twerking, please. Hey. Don't take me to twerk. I want to apologize for the way that y'all been treated.
I can back that ass up on you if that's what you want.
This ain't right. You know, I'm just saying it's wrong. And if you could just give me $375 so I catch the bus back home.
You don't want us. You want somebody else?
No, we just.
Hey, Paula, come over here. He wants to take him to church.
No, I just. Listen, I just think Jesus will want me to come in here.
Don't you hear the sound now?
The Pope told me to apologize.
Hey.
And I'm so sorry. I'm just so.
You want to get wet with us?
I mean,
you came in here?
This is jamming.
Yeah,
I mean, what?
Hallelujah.
this, oh, hallelujah. Oh, you know what? We got songs like this in my church.
I'm pretty sure that's how it go.
Yeah, and for you know, he done lost the priest.
Right. I'm staying with them.
Right. Yeah.
These niggas know how to party. This whack shit we be doing every Sunday for 1 hour.
I mean, I went over there and said hallelujah. That's all I need to know.
Our choir just be like, oh. Yes. I come up in here and
singing out of a hymn book and shit.
They got big black women singing in the background.
Yeah, they do partying.
This is better than a chicken commercial. This is how I started eating KFC. a gay YouTube star, 26 years old, faked a hate crime after being arrested for vandalizing cars by beating himself with a phone receiver inside of a jail cell.
Wow.
Apparently, he was on vacation in Los Angeles. He lied about being a victim of a hate crime attack. Callum McSwiggin, 26, who is from London but was visiting the U.S., claimed on his social media accounts on Monday that he had been beaten up by three guys outside a popular West Hollywood gay club and that authorities would not help him, treating him like a second-class citizen. The attack left him hospitalized with three broken teeth and six stitches in my forehead, which he showcased in a photo posted to Facebook. Yo, that's a level of commitment I'm not prepared for.
Nope.
If I'm faking a hate crime, it's gonna be the most unfortunate lucky hate crime of all times. Like, oh yeah, man, they just kind of like gave me a little mark right here. You look real close. Like, I'm gonna zoom in and change the filter and you might could kind of see it. Like, my eye didn't swell all the way. It's really went down. I mean, I got ice to it right away. But it was definitely a hate crime.
I'm not faking nobody's hate crime because motherfuckers out here really getting their asses whooped.
Well, obviously. But I mean, if I'm faking one, it's gonna be like, it was a vicious assault. I just fell into.
I lost an eyelash.
Yeah. I mean, look at my eyebrow, man. It's all, to see how this one a little bit more rougher than the other one. Yeah, man. They, no mercy. They was calling me nigger and everything, dog. Like, you can kind of see it on this arm, like, right. See, my tattoo kind of covering it up right there, dog. But just trust me,
You see the little red mark? That's yeah, what happened. That's just kind of holding me a little tight.
Mm-hmm. You see this one nail, look like I've been chewing on it. That they did that. They chewed on my nails, bruh. It was a vicious assault by the KKK.
See, my glasses, they look crooked. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They bent them a little bit.
They knocked my glasses almost off my face. And I was like, wow, this is some hate over here, bruh. So please, you know, just send all the money to the account.
All of it.
I mean, what's the point of this?
Right.
So that soon after LA County Sheriff's Department released a statement disputing these claims, saying they were unable to substantiate his allegations and actually arrested him for vandalizing a car. They also produced a mugshot taken after he claimed to have been attacked that showed him devoid of any physical injuries, while also stating that he had been observed injuring himself with the handle and receiver of a payphone inside his cell.
Damn.
He responded to this statement on Twitter Tuesday by saying, "I've been told to say nothing before court, but staying silent here is killing us. If you're a friend, just DM me for the truth, okay? Last night was the worst night of my life. I've been struggling to find words to talk about it," he wrote on Facebook after the alleged attack. "After one of the most wonderful weekends at VidCon, we went out to a gay club to celebrate. Towards the end of the evening, I was separated from my friends and beaten up by three guys. He went on to criticize the way he was treated by authorities before writing, 'I never felt so terrified to be a gay man in the public eye.' These claims were all quickly rebuffed by law enforcement, stating deputies from West Hollywood Station responded to an investigative report that he was assaulted by three males after leaving the local nightclub. Responding to deputies were unable to substantiate the assault. Mr. McSwiggin, who had no visible injuries, was subsequently arrested after deputies observed him vandalizing a car. After being booked and photographed, he was placed into a cell by himself at the West Hollywood station. Mr. McSwiggin was then observed injuring himself with the handle and receiver to a payphone inside the cell. Medical personnel was summoned and he was transported to a hospital for treatment. His booking photo was taken prior to deputy seeing him injuring himself." Shit, man. Despite the mugshot and statement from law enforcement, McSwiggin and three
and the three friends he was with that night continue to stand by their version of events. Oh, so maybe it happened and they covering it up. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time the police covered up some bullshit. I mean, true. It is LAPD, right?
Come on.
You spoken about it all, but last night at Colin McSwiggin was attacked by three guys outside a gay bar in LA. It was disgusting and terrifying to see. This shit still goes on in today's world. And to one of my closest and dearest friends, wrote Riyada Khalif, another gay YouTube star, in a series of tweets. He has three cracked teeth and stitches in his head, but is safe and somewhat well with us now. Please, please be safe when out with friends and don't get separated. Also, it doesn't look like they actually saw the attack, but obviously, because he said they got separated, but, you know, you want to support your friend. These people knew where we were going to be because our post on social media before we went out. They even said our names as they beat him. Another friend said, who was there the night of the alleged attack, stated everyone is lying in their articles on Twitter. We'll be making a video later today giving a full account of what Melanie and I saw after Callum called us saying he was attacked. So there you go. So I don't know, man. Hopefully he didn't make it up. I mean, I guess that's shit. Actually, I don't know what the best case scenario is. I guess when these things happen, the best case scenario would be that you made it up and nobody really did some hateful shit like this, but even though still, these things do happen.
Right, that's still fucked up, but yes.
Yeah, it's, man, it's complicated.
Very, very, very complicated. Oh, and I'm thinking about the previous story we did. It's amazing how the Pope told the priest to go ask forgiveness for to gays, but not asking them to go ask forgiveness for them families that they abused their children.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they feel they've, I don't know, because didn't they settle with money for some of that shit? So maybe they feel, and I know, have they ever publicly apologized for that? I feel like they've apologized in a vague way.
Yeah, but it's amazing when it comes to quote unquote this right here. We got to harass people.
I just don't like that the onus is on random gay people in the world to forgive some motherfucker that's been hateful towards them. Like,
because they don't have the problem.
I might not be part of your religion, bro. Back up off me.
Right,
I just came here to eat my waffles and you walking up to me talking about some, listen, I've been a hateful bigot for years and I was just hoping you could accept my apology and forgive me.
They looking like, bitch, I'm trying to eat my kale salad, get out my face.
Right, like this has nothing to do with shit, bro. Back up off of me. But some people are boycotting him. Actor Jeffrey Self called McSwiggin's claims and his friend's defense of them disgusting, before adding, I will only read tweets about the YouTube gay who faked a hate crime for the next 24 hours. Send me everything. Damian Nichols, meanwhile, wrote on Facebook that he witnessed McSwiggin vandalizing cars and alleged that he was caught stealing bottles of alcohol from West Hollywood gay club, The Abbey. If you like, follow, or watch him boycott, he is faking a bashing until he comes clean, apologizes, and pays for the damage to my friend's car. He should be ignored, wrote Nichols. Oh, so somebody saw him fucking up that car. Shit.
Ooh.
And the police saw it too. Multiple other people on social media also come forward claiming that he was stealing alcohol while inside the club as well as on the night. Oh shit, he in trouble. He has more than 16.
It depends on how organized this club is. It probably might be on, tape.
Yeah. He has more than 62,000 followers on YouTube. Where he posts gay themed videos like showing his straight friend nude photos of himself and addressing the fact that he made gay webcam videos while he was in university. He claimed in the video he was forced to do this for money after being fired from a job because he was gay. Man, well, shit like that, I hope he's not making it up, because shit like that, it's just like when that girl faked the hate crime in college, or faked that Twitter account that's like, I'm gonna kill all the black people because black lives don't matter, and it was her and she's the leader of the black student union and was holding an event and nobody was showing up,
right?
Like,
because you're going, people are really getting abused, right? Dog, like, this is not the time for you to pull pranks.
Yeah, basically. I hope you're not, I hope that's not, because real shit is happening to people, such as remember the two lesbians who wanted to get a cake made by these Christian bakers and they refused to make the cake?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was in Oregon, sweet cakes by so-and-so, whatever, was they were denied the cake and they mm-hmm. won the lawsuit.
Yes,
they still get death threats years after. They still get death threats.
Oh yeah, people ain't gonna let that die.
Mm-hmm.
They broke the law, dog. They broke the law.
Yeah. Yep. Fucking die or just kill yourself. The horrifying hate mail that they get 3 years after the Bakers do that. Denied them. Go jump off a cliff and take your wife with you. Right in hell, you fucking skanks. I'm buying up my ammo right now. Filthy, ugly, disgusting, fat, stupid, cruel piece of lesbian scum. Those are just three of hundreds of Facebook messages Rachel and Laura Bowman Cryer receive in their inbox 3 years after they were denied a wedding cake at a Portland bakery. Mm-hmm. 3 years. People find the time. People that hate find the time.
God damn, they find the time.
Mm-hmm. The couple's name made headlines in 2015 when they won $135,000 in emotional damages caused by Aaron and Melissa Klein, who owned the Sweet Cakes Bakery in Gresham, Oregon. It was supposed to be the end of a battle that began in 2013 when the Bowman Criers asked the Christian Bakers to make their special raspberry fantasy cake, but it was just the beginning. The women have revealed to OregonLive.com. You started a war, bitch. I'm far from done with you. I'm getting ready for war, so I hope you and your tart face, I don't know what this T-dot-dot-T-face, I'm assuming tart face girlfriend have a good hiding spot. Fucking die or go or just kill yourself. The messages come by the hour, filling up Laurel and Rachel's inboxes with insults and threats, accusing them of ruining the lives of both the Bakers and fellow members of the LGBTQ community. A Saudi Arabian man finds their Facebook page and tells a couple of their cases inspired him and his friend to whip gay people with canes. He said he asked one of them to get a wedding cake in the couple's honor and place it in a video of the beatings. He promised to send them a link. The couple have tried to remain quiet for years. Up until now, they quit their job, declined media interviews, and moved to a nondescript house on the outskirts of town that they now rarely leave. Yeah, these things really impact people's lives, man.
Right.
I think a lot of people look at online harassment as like some not real shit. Mm-mm, but
that shit rolls over into real life.
Right. Especially in a country with as many guns and crazy people as we have.
Right. Somebody roll up on you and blow your brains out.
But as they retreated, Aaron and Melissa Klein only grew louder. They hired former President George H.W. Bush's White House lawyer, toured with Ted Cruz, spoke about business owners' religious freedom. Because, hey, the biggest got to win, right? We won't sell you a cake. And then people make a mascot out of these people. Same thing they did with that woman in Indiana, you know. It wasn't until Laurel and Rachel, who had been together since they were 19, inherited two little girls, they decided they would finally get married. So, yes. Still going after all this shit, man. People still telling them they're going to kill them. That's just some sad shit.
Right, but you tell them people you're hateful. They're claiming they're not hateful. They're claiming they're not bigots.
And they might not even have gotten that money, because I remember the people were like, we ain't paying.
Right.
You know?
They might have been went bankrupt before they gave them a dime.
Meanwhile, gay marriage has contributed $1.58 billion in a boost to the economy since the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark decision.
Of course people are making a killing.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, because honestly, they don't care about the money they bring in. That's the thing about bigots. They don't, when you get to this point of, like, bigots and racism and all that shit, money don't matter to you. Like, money is irrelevant to you, like, because it's so irrational and illogical. You burn money before you deal with it.
Yeah, bigotry is just literal. It's just anti-logic. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Anti-logic.
It so often it is against how much like the better outcome for society. You know, money wise and things of this nature. But people are just like, I don't care.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna just continue to have my way despite the money that is coming in from this, despite the people that have been feeling marginalized and now feel mm-hmm. they have a victory here. We are going to continue to be stupid about this. So yeah. It also increased revenue from wedding expenses. It's created as many as 18,900 jobs in the last year. Yeah. More gay weddings, more people in wedding business.
Yeah, more people traveling, more expenses, more people making money off. Cause yeah, I think when people get married, it's more than just a wedding. It's it's a whole industry built around that makes extra money now.
Yeah, you know how many gay people are in the wedding business as is.
Right.
Always working in that business and you can't even, you can't get married yourself.
Come on, dog.
You know?
But they hire you for your services, though.
Right. It's just amazing. So, but good for, good for society, man. You know? And that's what people fighting gay marriage every step of the way.
Yes, sir.
Imagine if people didn't fight it, how much more money would be made. Cause I guarantee there's still people that are like, I'm not going down to the courthouse. These motherfuckers are refusing licenses. I'm not, I don't believe in this. They're gonna overturn it next week. You know?
Yeah. Or I don't wanna, do it for the simple fact that if I go to my job might fall underneath one of the organizations that's accepting to the rule, and all of a sudden I can't get coverage. All of a sudden I lose my job. You know, a lot of states, including here in North Carolina, can discriminate against you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And lastly, in the LGBTQ news segment, Black Lives Matter Toronto stalls the Pride Parade.
But, you know, I hear folks say, ain't no racism in Canada. Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. But some members of Black Lives Matter went up there and protested in the middle of the Toronto Pride Parade. Wait, is it 7 minutes long? I'll just sum it up then. But they went up there and protested because they weren't being included. They were still being marginalized. They felt unsafe in the space. And the parade didn't restart until after Pride Toronto executive director Matthew Chantelos signed a document agreeing to the group's demands. The organization was given the status of honored group for the parade, which is the grand finale of Pride Month. It did not give Pride Toronto advance notice of their planned sit-in. Well, it wouldn't be a much of a protest if it was, hey, we'll be there at 6:30.
Right.
Alexander Williams, a co-founder of Black Lives Matter Toronto, told CBC's Natasha Fatah that they held the sit-in because they wanted to hold Pride Toronto accountable for what she called anti-blackness. Williams defended the group's actions. It's always the appropriate time to make sure folks know about the marginalization of black people, of black queer youth, black trans youth, of black trans people, she said.
Because they there and they matter.
We are not taking any space away from any folks. When we talked about homophobia, transphobia, we go through that too. It should be a cohesive unit, not one against the other. Anti-blackness needs to be addressed. They can be addressed at the same time in the same spaces. We didn't bully our way into Pride. We made space for ourselves in a place where we have been erased. In a news release, the group said Pride Toronto has shown little honor to black queer / trans communities and other marginalized communities over the years. Pride has threatened the existence of black spaces at Pride that have existed for years. The group released a list of demands, including the commitment to increase representation among Pride Toronto staff and to prioritize the hiring of black transgender women and indigenous people. Some of the other demands that were agreed to are that the parade will no longer have police floats. And the organization will hold a public town hall with groups such as Black Lives Matter Toronto within 6 months. Mm. Yeah, police ain't gonna like that. We work security for this parade and y'all ain't giving us no float.
Right. Not realizing their purpose for doing that.
Right. Pride Toronto, in response to the sit-in, said it welcomes the opportunity to continue the conversation with Black Lives Matter Toronto. During the parade, Black Lives Matter Toronto started a conversation with us to explore how we can create an even more inclusive and safe festival. Black Lives Matter Toronto have a commitment to ensure our most marginalized communities feel safe and welcome at the festival. So,
just like everywhere else, these are white spaces with white problems and white issues. We'll take your numbers, but we ain't trying to address your issues, black folks and brown folks and indigenous people. We really don't care nothing about that shit.
Right. Yes. All that shit's kind of messy, you know, these days. But you have to show up and kind of go where you can to break this shit down, you know. I saw they were the Black Lives Matter people and got into it with DeRay and Netta and shit on Twitter yesterday, which I predicted in the Black Lives Matter forecast. I mean, come on. People had time. They had the day off.
Right. Nothing to do. It was hot.
You know, cookouts didn't start till late.
Right. At home with the kids all day.
Well, yeah, they were then saying DeRay be taking credit for Black Lives Matter, the foundation. And
he does
it. As opposed to the Black Lives Matter movement, which is pretty separate at this point, a black liberation movement. I don't know if they're, I think people from the outside not being educated kind of see all that shit as the same thing.
Right.
And the people kind of picked who they follow and who they don't when it comes to those things.
Right.
And DeRay and Netta and them and all these other people were out on the streets in front of people, especially during Ferguson, where many people got introduced to them and saw their work and saw them get tear gassed and saw them get guns pointed in their face and saw them get arrested and all the things that they put on the line to represent for black people and for our lives. And yeah, people gonna definitely feel some kind of way about coming at them, period, you know. So that was, but, and then also the way it appears to me, and I'm sure there's people that probably know better, but this is our show, so I'm saying how I feel. But it seems like the organization of Black Lives Matter is kind of upset that people are crediting DeRay, especially DeRay. I don't know, they don't seem to have as much problems with like Netta and stuff, but she will let people know.
Yeah, they don't have no problem with her unless she get recognized.
Yeah, she'll make the time. She'll make the time though to let you know not to be fucking with her people.
Right, she was like, nah.
But it's interesting because it seems like, and especially in interviews, and this happened to me, and it was funny because we documented it on the podcast. Like, I literally would read what was written about me to the audience. Like, this is what I said, y'all. This is what they wrote.
Right.
And a lot of times these editors and these journalists, they add shit like Black Lives Matter leader, Black Lives Matter founder.
You can even tell them I'm not associated with it. So a lot of times, because they're too fucking lazy to figure out and actually write the shit you tell them, because they're on the outside looking in, everything is Black Lives Matter. Regardless of what the fuck you do, it's Black Lives Matter.
Right.
When he might have told you that, he might specifically said, this is my organization, this is my group, this is what I stand for, and they go, yeah, yada, 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 Black Lives Matter. And all they keep seeing is why you keep taking credit for Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And it causes problems, and then a lot of times they look at you crazy when you record the conversation, or you bring your own tape recorder in there, and or you want, because you want your own version of the events too. They're like, what the fuck you bringing this in here? Because I want to be sure that everything I said, you not taking it and making it what you want to.
Yeah, I mean, they have a website. DeRay's website is campaignzero.org. The about section is right there. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you got just goddamn Google.
Like, you know, a lot of this, and this kind of happened to us with the hashtag gate shit. A lazy ass journalist doesn't take the time to attribute shit to the right people. And then you wonder what the fuck happened here.
Right. And to me, that lazy journalism really irritates the shit out of me. It just makes me mad, because it's like, who, what, when, where, why, and how, and everybody go fuck all those questions, because that's what I was taught in school to do. It's what's the hot take, what's the quickest way, what's gonna give you the most clicks, not actually the reality of what happened. You ain't really trying to tell me a story, you're not really trying to inform me or educate me, you just want me to click on some shit or either read the quote-unquote the titles and get angry and post it everywhere being mad, versus really trying to understand the content of what you're talking about. And a lot of it is just lazy. It's lazy journalism, it's lazy writing.
Yeah, and there's egos involved, because right, people want their credit. So when you're attributing this shit to people falsely who right, aren't even claiming these things, there's someone else somewhere being upset because they're like, yo, that's my thing.
Right.
So to a certain extent, you know, because I think Alicia Garza was tweeting about it, and this seems to be a recurring cyclical thing. Every time something's misattributed to DeRay, whether he asked for it or not, right, he gets blamed for it, despite the way that we all, and these people work in spaces where they get interviewed, despite the way that they know the media works.
They know, dog.
They don't respect or care about black shit, and they call me a Black Lives Matter activist, and I specifically said I'm not an activist to everyone who interviewed me.
Right, now
that, I specifically said I'm not a comedian to everyone here.
Right, I was gonna bring that up. Right, you specifically said you're not a comedian, and the first thing they say comedians, then you know, it's one of things where, you know, comedians are like, hey, dog, you're not a comedian. It's like, motherfucker, I know I'm not a comedian. I told them I was not. They just said I was a comedian.
Right, and also, you know, every single interview I mentioned that, you know, there were women who got up on stage. I even gave the Netroots that year, and I even gave the ads and the Twitter handles for some of them.
Matters.
None, I don't know. I think one article reached out to them for comment.
Just one.
And one maybe mentioned that that was the reason I was inspired to even start the hashtag Bernie So Black. All that being said, they constantly take things out of context, and they constantly do that to us, and they constantly don't give a fuck. And yet people look at these, and this happens often, people look at the finished result of the article and they think, well, that's what you wanted. Like, you as the subject of the article clearly wanted all the credit, despite you not wanting the credit, despite you not asking for any of that shit, despite you not having creative editing like you don't have you don't have any control over the creative process of an article. Even when you look at it later and I say, hey, can you fix this? Many times they don't fix it. Mm-mm. The hashtag thing with us started when Jamie told them to fix it on Twitter. The guy didn't fix it for 5 days. Like, that tells you how little they care. You can write this nice piece up about everybody, but you don't really care if the person that is the subject of what you wrote says this is incorrect, and you go, oh, I'll fix it, and you never fucking fix it. And then we had this huge fallout on the other side, because people do want their credits. People do have egos. I think in the protester space, in the Black liberation movement, in the Black Lives Matter movement space, people don't expect the protesters to have egos. People don't, but that's unrealistic. You know, like, if I start a movement, or if I create or if I'm responsible for managing the action, I probably do want my credit. I mean, that's a lot of work. So
y'all think MLK didn't want his credit? Y'all think some of these,
it matters who gets the credit. Yeah, I get that, and I'm not trying to say it doesn't matter, but find the real enemy. Sound like the issue really should have been handled with whoever wrote that piece of shit article that decided to mislabel that dude who didn't ask for that. You go to campaignzero.org, ain't no mentions of Black Lives Matter on there. They're not taking credit. You know, if the people want to call it the Black Lives Matter movement because of the hashtags and because it was sparked via social media, but the people that they saw on the ground and they associate with Black Lives Matter are the people that were protesting and shit, then so be it. Like, you can't put that genie back in the bottle when it comes to that kind of viral shit. Like, you can argue about it all you want, but for the most part, nobody's gonna give a fuck, and it's always gonna make you look super petty. It's the only thing it's gonna do, is because everyone's gonna sit back and be like, yeah, that I don't care.
Right.
Now it sounds like you hating on people when y'all supposed to be getting together, blah blah blah. And then when they say something back, it's gonna be that, why are you saying something back? You shouldn't have said nothing. You supposed to be doing da da da. It's everybody on the sideline that didn't do shit. Mm-mm. Telling everybody what they should be doing on the other side that were involved, you know.
Right. And to me, the thing is, the anger is always misdirected, in my opinion. The anger needs to go to the person that wrote the article. They wrote the article, start this havoc, and then they fucking walk away, and there is no accountability to them. Hold them accountable for putting out that bullshit.
Yeah, and the other part of it, cause, like, you know, I followed it yesterday, and honestly, man, some of this shit is just, it's starting to look real suspect, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people saw them put in work. Like, you can't take away what we saw. Like, like, despite whatever grievances you have, don't nobody care about that.
Mm-mm.
And the thing is, people give, you know, the organization Black Lives Matter the credit for the things that they deserve the credit for.
Yes.
But they're not going to get the credit for Ferguson. And if that's the case, they got to stop trying.
Come on.
Because no one's ever going to bite on that one. Everyone is sitting around going, no, that shit was on camera every single day. People watch 24 hours of footage. People watch it burn. And you can't let someone get all the risk. Because at one point she said something like, Alicia Garza said something about it being glamorous to protest.
Bitch, what?
Like, there's never been a bigger, like, everyone collectively sucking their breath in at the same time on Twitter.
No, it's glamorous to get shot at. It's glamorous to get beat. It's glamorous to get threatened.
Pepper spray.
You get pepper spray. It's glamorous to get arrested. It's glamorous to, and once the shit in, a lot of times it's hard to find jobs because nobody want to fuck with you. You know, it's glamorous that every time you go out, you're being constantly watched by police. Your phones are tapped. Who knows what else is tapped around you? That's glamorous.
Right. You on terrorist list and shit now, but that's, you know what I mean? That's
glamorous though, right?
Like, it's just, it was such a bad look, man.
And
do what you want to do. Obviously, nobody can tell anybody what to do in these things. And
right.
I don't live their existence. I don't know what all they're going through behind the scenes, but.
And a lot of that is
whenever
jealousy.
People pop up, it reminded me of the Sean Cain thing where he just went at DeRay and you just turn around and you go, dude, you look stupid right now.
Right.
Nobody had to know you felt this way and you knew. You had to know when you said it, most people were going to be like, well, that just came off extra petty for no reason.
Right. And at the end of the day, I don't think I'm wrong when I say this. A lot of people in those circles are jealous. Mm-hmm. They're jealous at the people just quote unquote getting the most spotlight, because a lot of people that are complaining, a lot of times they're not the heads of a lot of these organizations. You know, they're kind of the smaller subsections.
What do you mean?
Like, so the two ladies that actually run Black Lives Matter, are they clapping? Are they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
this wasn't okay. No smaller. I mean, okay. Sometimes you do see smaller
shit. Right, right.
Or they'll retweet somebody else who said something. But the point is, it's beef is between the top.
Okay, the top people.
Because they want credit for the fact that they started an organization that is run by a lot of different Black people and Black women and is organized all across the United States and the globe. And they do deserve props for that. It's not about taking away their credit, but it's just, you need to understand that they're like, I think on the outside looking in, nobody sees it the way y'all are seeing it. Everybody is seeing it as y'all taking shots at people that we watch, sweat and beaten and shit for us. Like, you're not going to get people to think that, you'll get some people. Cause there's some people, every time something happens with DeRay got a job making more money, and then there's, see, this is what's wrong with the people. You know, there's always going to be people like that. There's people that probably had bad personal interactions with him because he's a human being and they probably had bad interactions with everybody. You know, like there's, you know, no matter how down for the people you are, it's going to always be somebody that just don't appreciate the way you handle some shit. Mm-hmm. That's just how that is. You know, like, so the idea of we need to knock down this, you know, image of a person that people think is perfect or whatever, that's going to always be there. But then when you speak, sometimes you open up your mouth and let people know, like, oh, this isn't all coming from a good place. Like, some of this is at least, no matter how you want to frame it, to a lot of people, it's going to just look like, oh, okay, so it's just jealousy. Like,
right, a personal beef, a gripe. Just like when they do their work, nobody, they don't want the credit taken away from them, so why would you try to take it away from somebody else?
Yeah, it's interesting being alive at this time with social media and being able to see it happen, because it's no different than Adam Clayton Powell, Malcolm X, and Jesse Jackson, and Martin Luther King. Like,
right, they had, you know, problems too.
Yeah, I read Adam Clayton Powell's autobiography, and he will highlight, you know, some of the divisions and the general disagreements about tactics and, you know, the things that worked in different places that didn't work other places and things of this nature. And I didn't read that until 40 years after, right? I didn't read that till that movement was long and gone and the people were dead and things of this nature. This is live in front of everybody on Twitter, public admonishments and public clapback and all this shit. And, you know, these are people that are very outspoken and they're fighters. They're not just gonna, you know, do whatever. And then it's also, they're human and we all speak humanity, right? We all can see, like, you know, I think after she said something like, Ms. Garza tried to pull back on some, like, well, I don't really care who gets the credit. It's not about that. But it's like, no, it's obviously about that.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have started if you didn't care about that. Like, your initial tweet was about him taking credit. That, like, you can't kind of come off pious after you kind of revealed your hand.
Right.
Because everybody saw it. You know, it's social media. This isn't an autobiography 40 years later where we're like, oh yeah, but we already romanticized this era. Like, no, we're watching the era be built, and it's gonna be messy and sloppy and infighting and outfighting and everything.
Right. And it's one of those things where a lot of times people say things at certain points, and I think when people responded, sometimes you go back and like, oh, hey, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, you see some of the shit that they say about them, and like I said, they're gonna have to go a long way to prove how he is so fucked up. Like,
yeah,
you know, because the things they bring up look bad, to not for him but for them,
right?
You know, and that's a hard thing to prove, you know,
and to sell to people.
Yeah, you know, because of the, you know, that maybe the thing is, hey, we want to be the ones that are getting interviewed and shit like this on TV, but from my understanding, they don't really grant interviews and they don't believe in right. attending the White House, so they have a whole different philosophy. But right. then they it's like somehow they get upset when people outside of this group misunderstand their intentions or aren't interested in finding out their intentions, you know. But that makes sense, though.
It sure does.
You know what I mean? Because most people have the privilege to not care, so they're not gonna look into what you're talking about. Mm-mm. They're not gonna go find out. Like, if you don't have an aggressive like media arm or aggressive like representation in spaces, you're not seeking out interviews and shit like this, for the most part people aren't gonna be concerned, because right. people are lazy as fuck. Journalists are lazy as fuck, and to blame DeRay for that, if it wasn't DeRay, it'd be somebody else.
That's true.
It would just be somebody else, man. You know, it's really that simple. Because it's just, we got somebody to come on and talk about black people's plight in America, and as far as white people are concerned, that means Black Lives Matter. It wouldn't matter who the fuck was on the screen, you know. It just happened to be DeRay yesterday, but if it would have been fucking me, they would have said Black Lives Matter activists, and I would have been like, I'm not an activist anyway, nigga.
Black Lives Matter.
Like, we're watching an interview where the interviewer was aggressively hostile towards DeRay, thinking that same person gives a fuck about whether DeRay says, I'm not technically in Black Lives Matter, I'm actually, you know, we just call it the movement. And you know, we had a website called This Is the Movement. The movement has no leader. The people are the leaders. They the ones who started the movement. Even when he says all that shit,
it don't matter.
It doesn't matter. And I think to a certain perspective, it's just people sitting around being like, but what about my credit? And, you know, that, I mean, like I said, I don't know how they're going to get credit in the way they want it. And I also don't know when, like, because there's the other side of this that's ugly, which is, when are y'all taking credit and you don't mind people conflating Black Lives Matter with the shit that's happening on the ground when it's not y'all's?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, when it's Ferguson and people refer to Ferguson as Black Lives Matter, as this powerful moment in America for Black Lives Matter, there's no, like, well, that's not the org going. Right. Like, it's not as strong of a
Protest
deflection as it is, you know. And also, I feel the same way for those people. It's impossible for them to do it, even if they wrote 100 pieces on why the fuck it's not Black Lives Matter when it comes to Ferguson. Everyone outside of that don't give a fuck. It's all Black Lives Matter to them,
right?
So you can't win. It just looks bad on social media. But you know, hey, not everybody concerned with looking good on social media. Hope they work it out, though. Speaking of working it out, apparently there was a sex festival in Japan that got closed down prematurely.
Uh-oh.
Because too many people were there. There were herds of virtual porn fans that caused overcrowding fears. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Streams of locals were looking to get their hands on the latest invention from the adult entertainment industry in the first festival of its kind, the Adult VR Fest 01 in the Akihabara region of Tokyo. But fans of virtual reality porn, which reenacts sex and other acts using a blend of simulation headsets, male-friendly sex toys, and other gadgets, were left disappointed as the event was shut down due to unprecedented popularity. Oh, wow. This looks horrible.
You'll put that on the screen.
Let me share my screen with you guys. This looks bad, y'all. That's what the VR machine looks like. Why is it in a schoolgirl costume?
For a lot of people, that's their fantasy.
Yeah. It looks also like you're fucking a mannequin with no legs
and no head
and no arms. Among the attractions was a machine that simulated a woman on top of a man as he lay on the floor, and another where punters put their hand in a cardboard box which blew air in a way that allowed people to follow what felt like breast.
Oh, okay. All right.
Google searches for virtual reality porn shot up by 10,000% in the last 20 months, and the popularity was evident as dozens of eager fans got turned away. Yo, once we build robots that make burgers, how soon before we fucking them? Okay. You guys, we're going down a rabbit hole here, and we're not going to be able to come back. Because once we start fucking robots, they're really going to see how terrible humans are. We are horrible.
Mm-hmm. They're going to go sentient, and then we're going to have Terminator, and they're going to kill us all.
Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure if the same thing would happen in the U.S., but VR porn enthusiasts rushed to have a go at some of the latest virtual reality gadgets, said a Japanese reporter.
10,000%. Oh, my God, that never makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It's understood around 20 fans made it inside, but as crowds continue to jostle yes.
Wow. That's a small number.
Mm-hmm. But as crowds continue to jostle for position outside in the queue, organizers called the event out. Off, so I'm assuming outside motherfuckers was fighting.
And they were brawling each other. I'm next.
That was some intense jacking off inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hear outside, you just hear a fucking crowd of people yelling at each other, and you just inside like. bosses have vowed the fans that next time the event will be in a bigger venue to facilitate erotica enthusiasts.
I mean, what do they have it at the grandma's house? Why didn't they have it at a convention center?
I don't know. They said the staff was in tears when the festival was called off. Said they didn't even start until 2 p.m. So I went there in high spirits an hour before then, but the city was already overflowing with people.
Oh, they must have had like a little small town.
There were so many that it was impossible to keep the situation under control. While waiting for my friends, I couldn't help but think that if they couldn't control this mass of people, a riot or something similar might happen. Yo, they was gonna ride the fuck robots?
Gonna burn that bitch down. Jeez. And cause explosions when the robots burn up.
Wow. The 20 lucky guys closest to the building were let in by the staff. I'm sure there was a line outside the building that rivaled the one inside. Outside the building of the Adult VR Fest, the unofficial waiting outside the building spanned both sides, so it was a real hell here.
Somebody Bob, a good question. There are no Japanese women, so there was no women there other than the robots.
I don't.
And maybe people on the staff, and that's a maybe.
It sounds like they didn't even make toys for women to fuck robots.
Right, so you just had a bunch of dudes show
maybe
up.
Maybe they were lesbian women in the crowd. I don't know.
That's true.
I have no idea.
But I'm a, you know.
The robots seem equipped for penises only, though.
Right, that's why. So my understanding is that a bunch of dudes with dicks.
There's a bunch of hard dick people waiting outside in the line.
Right, not unless somebody had a strap on.
Mm-hmm. These people are putting their lives on the line for adult VR. They don't like this world, and they know women don't see them in a good light. They have their own needs that they have yet to be fulfilled, but they don't want to bother anyone with them, thus they turn into a new world. Honestly, they're wonderful people, homo for a brave new world, and they'll finally have one soon enough.
Oh, she make them sound like losers, and I know some of them aren't.
There are plenty of people.
She's like, po things. They in their mama's house in the basement. Like, well, shit.
How you know it's a she? Could be a dude, right?
I don't know. Just the way they describing it, she's saying she makes it sound like they losers for even showing up, well, and that's not true.
The blogger's name is EIZO0000, so we don't know the gender of the person that you calling a woman.
Are you sure the sex toys didn't write this article then?
That's the blogger whose comments I'm reading. Not that person who wrote the article.
No, I mean, that right there sound like a UPC code number that you put on one of them sex robots they were trying to fuck.
Yes, that's the person's comments I'm reading. They didn't write this article, but that's the comments that they're leaving. I don't know if that's a person or what. I don't know.
No, I'm saying.
Maybe it is one of the robots.
Right, there was at the festival who was firsthand, who seen the experience firsthand.
Well, with that attitude, it won't be long before he or she, the robot, gives up on humans. There were plenty of problems.
They kill us all.
There were plenty of problems while waiting to get in, but none of these patient gentlemen voiced any complaints. They simply waited silently to be let in. Oh, that's even creepier. It was about 20 minutes after opening time when their leader appeared. Yeah, that's pretty funny too, that everyone's sitting there quiet, no one's talking, just sitting there with a hard dick thinking about fucking a plastic robot.
Right, because you ain't trying to talk about your fantasies.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty creepy. At any rate, this is a sad story. Thandi Newton, who is an actress, I think a lot of people know her work. I always get her confused with like Paula Patton, and there's one more person I get her confused with.
Similar to her.
Oh, what's the woman who's doing the Nina Simone movie? I always get them confused.
What's that woman's name?
Somebody in the chat room knows what I'm talking about.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, I always get Thandi Newton, Paula Patton, and Zoe Saldana confused. It's really bad, and I don't know what to do about it, guys. It's been happening for years. Shit, when I put in her name in Google, one of the suggestions was Zoe Saldana. So I'm not alone.
So Google get them mixed up, too.
Yeah, but she's known for Mission Impossible 2, Crash, Pursuit of Happiness, Rock and Roller. Like, I've seen a lot of her work without really ever going for her. Chronicles of Riddick, Beloved, For Colored Girls. So, at any rate, she says she was sexually abused and recorded by a creepy director.
Oh, that's not good.
And she's giving interviews for her new HBO series Westworld, which the preview looks great. She recently revealed a disturbing incident with an unnamed director. The actress said the creep filmed her touching her breast during the audition, then showed the recording to his friends. And she basically said she thought it was okay because there was a female casting director in the room as well. And I'd done weird stuff before, so I did it. And then years later, at a film festival, another director walked up to her and basically said, "Oh, Thandi, I've seen you recently." And told her, like, yeah, that director was showing the audition tape to all his friends at poker games at his house, and they would all get off on it.
Wow.
Here's the thing. She says she spoke up basically because she has two daughters, 16 and 11, and so many people in our business, they don't want to be the ones to say something that's a bum out, because then they become associated with a bum out, and nobody wants to read about so-and-so because they're always blabbering on about that a bum out. But one person will read this and it'll stop them from getting sexually abused by a director. That's the person I'm interested in. Here's the thing. She didn't even name the person's name.
Mm-mm.
Now, I'm not saying that to blame her. I don't blame her for not saying the person's name.
Right,
I understand.
She don't want the problems.
My point being, a person as established as Thandi Newton, who has over 25 movies in her career,
working
who has
years.
Money, who is a consistently working actress, is still terrified to say whoever this director was, not because of probably even who he is, mm-hmm. or who he became or whatever, but mostly because she don't want to deal with the problems that come along with talking about this shit. You know, like, that. I mean, it's a gross violation. It's obviously pretty whack to do,
right.
And it might negatively affect that person's career. It might not. People in the industry obviously know he showed it to other people in the industry. They said they saw the tape. Nothing happens to these people. And that's just really sad that our society's like that. That it's just like, yeah, it's better for you not to say shit, if we're being honest, because it doesn't matter you're Thandi Newton. Once you become associated with a woman that tells the bad shit that men do, you're just a bad person, and who would want to work with someone like you?
Right.
You know, why would I put you in my next film, you know, looking at right. how you operate?
Yeah, but, you know, women in it after the money. That's why women want to be sexually abused.
This is like the silent cost of being a woman, right?
Yeah.
Many women live with shit like this every single day. Most and they're expected to, and they navigate through life all the time.
Yeah, most women do, and most dudes could don't think twice about it because they're never really in the situation. And there are men that have been sexually abused, but the average straight male most of the time has never been in a position where he's had to fear like that and to that extent.
Right.
Because push come to shove, and to a lot of men, even a woman that you fucking right now, if you ask her, 9 times out of 10, she's had some type of sexual violation, be it verbally or physically or mentally.
Well, we know the stats. You know, we know there's a overwhelming majority of women have experienced some level of sexual molestation, sexual assault, or whatever, harassment.
Right,
and
I never tell you, but it has happened to them.
Right. They navigate the world every single day, right? Like, they got to find a way to go to work just like your ass does and everybody else. And whether you have the privilege of never having been in those situations or escaping them or whatever, there's other people that did not, and they still have to get up every day and do whatever the fuck life requires of them. And it's sad to see somebody even as established as Thandie Newton can't just be like, it was so and so,
right?
Fuck them and don't work with them. They're a creep. Who knows what other women this person's doing this shit to?
Right. And a lot of times, most victims never get the help that they need. Honestly, mm-hmm. never get the mental help that they need. Never get the support that they need. A lot of times, and it's one of those things where people act like, when people are sexually assaulted, coming out to just solve all the problems, and you're like, nah, it don't solve shit. It really don't. A lot of times it makes things worse. Friends turn on you, family turn on you. A lot of times people accuse you of making the shit up. They accuse you
trying to get ahead somehow,
right? Especially little girls, they accuse you of being fast assed and hot tailed and whatever old people slang people say about little girls to shame them.
Yep. All right, let's get into our segments now. Let's talk about some fucking with black people as soon as this music takes the time to come on up. Here we go.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we get articles and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, interval to 25, how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. So some people are upset at Jesse Williams' speech about racism at the BET Awards. Mm-hmm. And they have threatened to boycott Grey's Anatomy unless he is fired for being anti-white.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently their Facebook page has some comments. It's going to be so hard to watch Grey's Anatomy due to Jesse Williams' racist rant on BET Awards. I love the show and have watched from day one, but he kind of killed it for me. I will give it a shot, but might not be able to stomach the scenes with him in them. Crazy how this is a clip with Weber and Bailey, yet folks keep bringing up Jesse Williams. Not Avery, but Jesse Williams. It's sad. Bet y'all are voting for Trump, too. Shaking my damn head. Love this scene. Love Weber. Rock out, Bailey. I love this show so much. I will miss watching it. Thank you, Jesse Williams, for saying what you did. Now your character isn't something someone I know or my family want to watch. With a sad crying emoji. So now y'all gonna stop watching because y'all offended by Jesse speak. Why y'all get mad over the truth unless you're guilty? Shaking my head. Love the show and love him too. Shout out to that person.
They're like, yeah, fuck y'all with these white tears.
Mm-hmm. Never. He hates anyone that's not black. Jesse said so at the BET Awards. I will stop watching Grey's Anatomy.
It's amazing what the fuck they heard.
Mm-hmm. I hope you write his character out after his racist rant on BET. Here's the problem, white folks, that I'm not sure you guys know, but like, ABC hired that black woman as like their program director. Shonda Rhimes writes the fucking show. And then the director is a black woman, so
he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, y'all just gonna be mad, bro. It's just what it is.
And you know what, even if they considered writing his character off of killing him, y'all guaranteed he gonna be on there a little bit longer now.
Yeah, they weren't going to do that, I guarantee it. But mm-hmm. Y'all white folks mad as hell, huh?
Anyways,
but you know what? You still gonna watch no matter what you say, because them ratings, quote unquote, they ain't gonna fall like y'all claim they do.
Yeah, I actually have Jesse Williams' speech. I want to listen to it again.
In this industry, whenever an African American character, hero or villain, was introduced, usually by white artists and writers, they got slapped with racist names that singled them out as Negroes. Now, my book, White Hatin' Coon, none of that bullshit. The hero's name is Malikwa, and he's a descendant from the black tribe that established the first society on the planet while you European motherfuckers were still hiding in caves and shit, all terrified of the sun. He's a strong role model that a young black reader can look up to. Because I'm here to tell you, the chickens is coming home to roost, y'all. The black man's no longer going to play the minstrel in the medium of comics and sci-fi fantasy. We keeping it real. And we going to get respect by any means necessary.
Ah, come on. That's a bunch of horse shit. Lando Calrissian was a black guy, you know. You got to fly the Millennium Falcon. What's the matter with you?
Who said that?
I did. Lando Calrissian is a positive role model in the realm of science fiction fantasy.
Fuck Lando Calrissian, Uncle Tom, nigga. Only some white boy gotta invoke the Holy Trilogy. Bust this. Those movies are about how the white man keeps the brother man down, even in a galaxy far, far away. Check this shit. You got cracker farm boy Luke Skywalker, Nazi poster boy, blonde hair, blue eyes. And then you got Darth Vader, the blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up. Now, Vader, he's a spiritual brother, you know, down with the Force and all that good shit. Then there's Cracker, Skywalker. Gets his hands on a lightsaber, and the boy decides he's gonna run the fucking universe. Gets a whole clan of whites together. And they gonna bust up Vader's hood, the Death Star. Now, what the fuck do you call that?
Intergalactic Civil War?
Gentrification!
They gonna drive out the black element to make the galaxy quote unquote safe for white folks.
And Jedi's the most
insulting installment because Vader's beautiful black visage is sullied when he pulls off his mask to reveal a feeble, crusty old white man. They trying to tell us that deep inside we all wants to be white.
Mm-hmm. Tell them, Jesse.
Well, isn't that true?
So yeah, Jesse was a little over the top, but I agree with him. You know, it's a lot, you know, a lot to consider, but for the most part I gotta agree with Jesse. So 0 to 100, Karen.
This gets a 0 because he ain't going nowhere.
All right, and I'll give it a 0 as well. I'm gonna start a new session. We'll see how this works, guys. I'm not 100% sure how this thing works, but I'm gonna create a new session, and I think you guys will be invited to join it or to roll over,
because
we have a 90 minute limit on the session that we currently have. Mm-hmm. So let's see how this works. Am I off screen in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm starting on this side. And it looks like we still retain, well, it says no active viewers. So they have to come to this or something. Let me see.
I wanted
go live. Okay. Yes, go live. Let's see what happens. Yeah, I don't see anybody in here currently. Call audience to session.
Okay, call us.
Okay, I want to move my audience to here. So, cool.
Shit.
Oh, this is dope.
Okay.
So then it moves everybody back over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, this is live. Okay, and then I invite you on screen, and you can add yourself back. Yo, okay. That's pretty damn dope, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let me mute your mic. Oh, wait. I don't need to mute your mic.
Yeah, so it auto-switch. Oh, shit. Wait a minute.
Is your mic muted or?
Okay. Yeah, but okay. But I don't see myself with you. Did it try to?
You're here.
I see myself there, but I don't see myself on my screen. But that's okay.
Refresh. Refresh. It's fine.
Okay, so it automatically move everybody over. That's
yeah, they saw you on the screen, but yeah, you just we'll just I'll just add you back. Invite on screen. Yes. Yo, this is dope though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I invited you. Did you get that?
Okay, yep.
All right, okay,
cool. So they don't nobody has to rejoin. That's wonderful.
Yep.
There I go.
All right, cool. So let's
so we saw that problem.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next one. A federal judge, I hope you guys are all sitting down. Okay. A federal judge found evidence of racial bias by the San Francisco police. What?
Say what?
I am shocked.
Me too, sir.
A federal judge finds evidence of racial bias by San Francisco police. Accusations of racism have gained momentum in federal court Thursday when a judge ruled that a series of tenderloin drug stings in which all 37 people charged were black showed substantial evidence of racial discriminatory law enforcement. But Rod, if they just happen to be black criminals, then what, they just got to do their job? What's racist about that? Well, according to court records, one officer was overheard making derogatory references to black men, and another referred to black women as bitches. There's also evidence that police were aware of non-black drug dealers in the same area, but did not arrest them. The evidence included a videotape incident in which an officer apparently turned down an Asian American woman's offer of a drug sale before arresting a nearby black woman. Mm-hmm. Evidence shows there are substantial numbers and a substantial proportion of drug dealers in Tenderloin who are not African American, yet they were not stopped or arrested.
What?
That black tax, man. Now imagine those people come in the system, they get registered, and meanwhile white people and people that aren't black get to experience a completely different America where they go, what's the big deal with selling drugs? Right. I mean you know, it's, you're not hurting anybody, and if they're arresting the black people, it's obviously because they did something wrong. I mean, I sold drugs for years and nobody bothered me.
Right.
He refused or dismissed claims by 12 of the 37 defendants arrested under the Operation Safe Schools, a program run jointly by, oh, they did this in the name of the schools and they only arrested black people. You motherfuckers. Sorry. Run by San Francisco police and federal law enforcement that say that they were victims of police racism. Claims that, if proved in court, would be the grounds for dismissal of the federal charges against them. The case comes in the wake of revelations about racist messages and other possible abuses by the San Francisco Police Department. Police Chief Greg Sir resigned in May after a fatal police shooting of an unarmed African-American woman. Sir had been under pressure to leave since December when he defended officers who fatally shot Mario Woods, a stabbing suspect allegedly armed with a knife, despite video footage that showed the black man moving slowly along a wall but not directly threatening the police. The Woods shooting was one of the events that led to the U.S. Justice Department decision to begin a collaborative review of the police department. Meanwhile, disclosures of racist and homophobic text messages between officers started in 2012, have prompted the public defender's office to argue that as many as 200 criminal convictions could be overturned. So yeah, yep, this is how they do it over there, you know. Keep them school safe. Gotta make sure that the black people go to jail. 61.4% of those arrested and charged with drug crimes in the Tenderloin were African-American, while the rest were Latino and white. A 7-week survey of clients in the needle exchange program in the Tenderloin starting in August 2015 found that drug users identified 56% of their drug suppliers as black. Chen also said police well, who knows, where you get these drugs from? A black guy? That's right, you're correct. Come on into the needle exchange program. Asian dude, you can't get no needles here. Get the fuck out, you lying piece of shit. I mean, black dude, okay, come on in. Come on in.
That's another mark, another one for the darkies on the list.
There's video evidence of this shit. One where someone says, officers caught on video saying, fuck BMs, prompting the second officer to say, shh, hey, I'm rolling. Like, I'm recording right now. Don't say fuck black men. It's a common law enforcement term referring to black males. There's substantial evidence of racially selective enforcement by San Francisco Police Department and its partners in the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, Chen said. He said the defendants are entitled to seek evidence from the police agencies about their racial practices. So, yep. We'll see what happens, man. Like, some people might get out of jail behind this and shit, but 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's 100.
Yeah, it's gotta be 100 for me. That actually made me a little mad. Reading that. More shocking news. Tests suggest that North Carolina Police Department people target black drivers as well.
No shit.
I need you guys all pull over in your cars. I'm sorry. I should have given you a warning that we were going to break such shocking news. According to a new study of 4.5 million traffic stops, police in North Carolina are more likely to search black and Hispanic motorists than white or Asian drivers. But while black and Hispanic are more likely to be searched, those searches are less likely to uncover illegal drugs or weapons than searches of vehicles with white or Asian drivers.
No shit, because we know our asses will go to jail. And then if you live in like little small hick towns, it's even worse, because I know in Fayetteville they will flag your ass in a heartbeat.
Look, it ain't even that. It ain't about what black people do. They're searching every black person. You know, they're just searching more. When they search white people and Asian people, it's because they found cause. It's like, oh, I smell weed. Let's search their car. With black people, it's they black. Let's search their car. So, of course, the percentage is lower for black people to find something. It's harassment. You're just searching every fucking car you see. Oh, something got to be illegal in here. You black, ain't you? Studies based on the incidence of searches by race and the outcomes of those searches have been done in the past, but the new study researchers developed a third entirely new measurement, a threshold test. The researchers showed that this new measurement offers a statistically rigorous way to quantify how suspicious officers were to initiate a search. For example, did officers conduct searches when there was 15% probability of finding weapons or drugs, or 5% inkling enough? They correlated these threshold assessments to the race or ethnicity of the subjects across the entire data set of 4.5 million vehicles, stops. We consistently observed this pattern of behavior across the largest 100 police departments in the state, by the way. So it's not just North Carolina. Mm-mm. But they would apply double standard and search with black and Hispanic drivers on less evidence than whites and Asians. Yep, that's what I figured. The study marks a new milestone in Stanford's project on law and order and algorithms, which has already collected data on 50 million traffic stops in 11 states and is aiming to expand the database to 100 million stops from at least 30 states in every region of the United States. The purpose of the database, which the researchers plan to make publicly available, is to shed light on the prevalence of racial profiling and to identify techniques for improving police practices. In the case of North Carolina, researchers obtained records for traffic stops in the state from 2009 through 2014. The records included information about the ethnicity, age, and gender of people being pulled over, and at least some information on the rationale of police officers for searching particular people in vehicles. Apparently, the things that that most influence a search turns out to be race.
You ain't telling me shit I don't already know.
Yep, these are these studies that me and Justin laugh about, where it's like they gave somebody money to do some shit niggas been telling them for years.
Come on, dog.
You could have listened to one black person and been like, well, apparently this is true. Specifically, the study found that police decided to search black drivers based on a 7% certainty that they might be hiding something illegal. If an African-American driver looks nervous, for example, police might interpret nervousness as a sign of possible guilt and assist on a search. For Hispanics, that search threshold was to 6%.
Of course they got damn nervous. For a lot of people, they don't want to get fucking shot.
In these 100 North Carolina cities most police wanted a 15% certainty before searching vehicles of white drivers. The threshold for searching Asian was about the same as white. So you can be a nervous white person. It's like, not enough. I had to see. Yep. But apparently, had North Carolina's police applied the same standard of suspicion to blacks as whites, they would have searched about 30% fewer black drivers, around 30,000 people over the 6 years of the study. Hispanics would have experienced 50% reduction. But while the new test reveals that the threshold of suspicion varies by race, there is a caveat. We cannot, however, definitely conclude the disparities we see stem from racial bias. Of course you can't. But I can. They racist. 0 to 100.
Come on, they racist. 0, because this shit I already knew.
Yeah, I gotta give it a 100 because I'm fucked with. So even just knowing that, I'm more fucked with the fact that it just has to be a study.
Right, for anybody believes you.
Yeah, because it's just like, we know it's true. We gotta get Stanford $1 billion to research this shit. Come on, man.
You could have asked any nigga on the street.
Right, now that a white scientist said it, I think they are. I think they beating up these black people. An Iowa woman attacks a news crew and hurls racial slurs at a reporter.
Uh-oh. Well, now the story that really hits home for us. Our coworkers were assaulted while covering the breaking news yesterday.
Yeah, reporter Emmy Victor and photojournalist Zachary Hayes were across the street from the scene of that officer-involved shooting yesterday morning in Boone when a woman approached them and started yelling racial slurs using profanity and placing her hands on Emmy Victor. Here's a video of that encounter.
Now get the f*** out of here, you stupid f***ing
ma'am. Don't ever.
Don't you f***ing ever tell me. I f***ing told you he was f***ing dead. So don't stand there and tell me you don't f***ing know. Get f***ing out of here. One, your f***ing gonna start going down. So what do you want to do? We keep going? Get the f*** out of here.
Ridiculous. You're gonna have to go.
No, you
we're calling. We're calling the police. We're calling the cops on you.
You shoot me too. Come on, right here. Time to come f***ing shoot me. Come on. Let's go.
Stressful situation there. Victor and Hayes were not physically injured in the attack, but they obviously were shaken up. Police later identified that woman as the mother of the man who was shot and killed. KCCI General Manager Brian Sather released this statement. He wrote, "The safety of our crews is critically important as they cover stories affecting our communities. Emmy and Zach demonstrated the utmost professionalism in the face of a very difficult, emotionally charged situation."
That they did. That they did. Mm-hmm. They handled that very well.
Ain't no motherfucking ain't no story that good. I would have lost my job that day.
What?
I'm like, oh shit, she punched that woman in the face.
Mm-hmm. Bitch, if you don't get the fuck away from me,
right,
I'd have cut smack on the L.
Oh my god, wow, the professionalism she was able to exhibit is just wow. I'm impressed. That's a lot, sis.
Right, because the thing is, it's probably just a two-man crew, her and the goddamn camera guy. Because mm-hmm. it's one of those things where you like, well, dog, nobody, like, y'all don't have an extra person to be like, because y'all out in the general public, so y'all don't have somebody to be like, hey, bitch, you can't be walking up on the people on the camera like this.
Yep. All right, well, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's 100?
Yeah.
I hope that bitch went to jail for that bullshit.
Probably not. She's just emotional, so she got to call you a nigger and put her hands on you.
Can't about you being goddamn emotional.
My son died, so it made me racist and put my hands on people. All right.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read or play news articles from all around the globe, and we play Guess the Race with our audience. They guess the race, and we read them on the air, and the only caveat is that the audience is racist. All right, there you go. Homeless man apparently flipped out on the lady. He is suspected of attacking at least two women with bags of feces in Manhattan.
Uh-oh.
And he was led to the patrol car on Friday claiming God did it. The 42-year-old man, identified as Equan Hill, was found at a homeless shelter in Brooklyn on Friday morning. He was subsequently arrested on charges of assault and forcible touching before being taken to New York criminal court. As he was from the Manhattan Special Victims Unit, and wait, what? They skipped a paragraph. What did 7?
Yeah.
Being playing. Okay, all right. When asked by a reporter why the filth, he referenced Louis Farrakhan, the 83-year-old Nation of Islam leader. "It's a Farrakhan," he said. "Something that sometimes they bring you here, they enlighten you. What they do to you, they try to turn you into a slave on earth." He is accused of approaching the 27-year-old woman from behind at 6 p.m. on Monday as she walked near 74th Street. He allegedly stuffed the bag of feces down the woman's shorts and then grabbed her buttocks.
Oh.
He then threw away a pair of gloves he was wearing at the time of the bizarre attack and ran off. Didn't want that DNA evidence, obviously.
Well, your shit got DNA in it, or no?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Because it came out of your body.
He also is thought to be linked to another attack just hours before. The suspect is alleged to have smeared. I like that you seriously considered my, he didn't want DNA evidence. That's why he wore gloves. The suspect is alleged to have smeared excrement on a 33-year-old woman's face.
Oh!
And clothes as she walked East 91st Street at 2:25 p.m. She was not physically injured. Listen, you throw doo-doo on my face, I'm physically injured.
What? I'm everything, mentally, emotionally.
Shame. Shame.
I'm fucked in the paint.
Shame. Surveillance video captured both incidents, and authorities realized the attacks were about the same man after viewing the footage. Tough ladies, said police detective Robert Boyce. Right now, they be doing fine. Obviously, the ghastliness of the crime has upset them. Boyce added the Hills locker at the shelter, which is for mentally ill men, contained an Adidas t-shirt and latex gloves, items which matched those worn by the suspect in the attack.
You don't say.
Apparently, he has 21 previous arrests.
Oh, okay.
Also, when he saw the video, he reportedly said, "That's me." So, open and shut case.
At least he recognized himself.
Guess the race of Mr. Equan Hill. The homeless shit bandit. Let's see what everybody thinks in the chat room. Did you already ask him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got yellow corn in it, black.
Oh.
Black as the doo doo. As black as the doo doo he played with. Black. Brooklyn was still applying to work at BCCO Studios Black, at BCO Studios Aww. Black. Celebrated being on camera black as the poop he threw. Melts in her pants, not in your hand, black and black. Aww. The correct answer is black. And if you guys want to see what he looked like,
I'm surprised nobody said white girls.
White girls.
Minister Farrakhan.
I know. Don't call Minister Farrakhan. He don't want to know what's going on. Cause white girls get doo doo surprised.
Apparently they do.
Yeah.
So whether they wanted it or not.
Good grief, bro. What was life like to make it get that bad?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Snap yesterday. It was a woman who had some mental illness and like just had a psychotic break and never got treatment. And she killed her husband.
That shit matters, man.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Some people got popped because they were flashing money on Facebook after a $500,000 heist.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. They had to tell everybody on the video what was going on. So the cops, I guess they followed them on the ground.
Bragging on social media is one thing, but bragging on Facebook about a crime you allegedly committed can get you caught. That's exactly what happened to two men who have been arrested after posting this video on Facebook, showing off the cash that authorities say they recently stole.
No, we ran it up, man. Character.
The brag video, most likely intended for just friends, ended up having an unexpected audience. Police, who were tipped off after detectives took notice of the post on Facebook. 18-year-old Redarius Collins and 27-year-old Marcus Parker were taken in by police for allegedly committing two heists near Miami, Florida. Police say the men first made off with a safe, which they brag about in the video.
We got the safe. And it's not out of order.
Containing $500,000 worth of jewels. Authorities say the second robbery happened when this homeowner wasn't home.
Broken glass on the floor and two exterior doors open.
Many of her items have since been returned, but police have yet to find the owners of these. Police say all items stolen were sold to a local jewelry store for $1,300 apiece, when they're actually valued at $500,000. Parker has since been locked up on charges of burglary, grand theft, and criminal mischief, while Collins finds himself facing the same charges with the addition of dealing in stolen property. Police are still looking for the third man, partially seen here in the passenger seat.
No credit card scam, man. We don't got time to show our face in no bank.
Authorities are looking for help in identifying the third man and urging anyone with information to contact Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers.
We done ran it up.
For InsideEdition.com.
guess the race. I'm trying to post it in the chat, but yeah, this story right here, oh my god, this story a lot. Did they Snapchat it too? And do it for the Vine? What's happening here?
Oh, shit. Oh.
Whew.
Oh, man. Whew, oh, my God. All right. Yeah, guess the race. Hey, man, Dade PD just liked this. They just gave us a heart on Instagram. We coming up. All right. Let's see. Let me scroll up. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's why it wouldn't let me post it. Because when I said guess the race, and I said guess, and I put guess the race, it was like, you already said that. Oh, so okay. I had to say again.
Okay. All right. Let me scroll up. Let's see. All the way black. Flashing their money on camera so black they don't celebrate the 4th of July.
Ah!
Know the lyrics to fuck up some commas black. White and in jail. What?
Somebody going against the grain.
You missed the first one. You try to get the bonus points. I don't know if y'all know, but you gotta wait till Karen. Oh, okay. All right. Let's see.
Oh, yes, you said wait till I post it.
Timmy Turner, this nigga had never learned the words, bro. 90% of the 2016 freshman class niggas.
Oh.
Should have learned their lesson at the vault dry snitching from Bobby Shmurda Black. They dream you would call them the N-word white. Guess the right. Okay. Ashy as Chief Keith Black. Put that shit in someone's DM like Kane with the tape black. Really, Rod, this is too easy. Black. Never should have given you niggas the internet. First time Tubman's got niggas locked up instead of free. Fuck up some commas black, blacker than they black teeth black. Ha ha ha, didn't even get the right. Okay. Whew. So the correct answer is, and everybody got it black. And I'll try to find
one person got it wrong.
Hey, oh yeah, one person did get it wrong. Trying to go off the board. Let me see if I can find a screen capture where you guys can see it. Give me a second to switch. Cause, I had to stop the video on these niggas. Cause this is too good. My God. These idiots.
Facebook about a crime you allegedly committed can get you caught.
Here you go.
This video on Facebook.
That's their mugshots right there, guys. That's only two of them. One of them got away.
Holy shit. Oh, they gonna catch his ass.
Yeah.
If they doing it for the Vine, you good as caught.
Oh my God. Oh, that's the greatest video of all time.
I noticed some police love the internet because they were like, oh, y'all gonna brag.
Oh, wow.
Then you saying shit that only the criminals would know we stole a safe.
And like one of, right? And then one of them name was like Quintavious. Like it was so obvious, but it's funny. Someone's like, why'd you play that when it's obvious? I'm not trying to trick y'all. The question is, can you get it right or not?
And apparently
some of these stories are too funny whether they obvious or not.
One person got it wrong.
Mm-hmm. next bonus round. Wait. Bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race. Bonus round, guess the race. So far, everybody's mostly 2-for-2, except for a couple people. And we'll see if they can go into the bonus round. All right. See what you guys got. Caretaker has been jailed because he was drugging a wealthy blonde widow and stealing $500,000 from her to rent Lamborghinis and buy glittering tasseled nipple pasties. A Miami caretaker has been sentenced to 17 years in prison after he stole $500,000 from a blind wealthy widow. Eduardo Ravello, 36, had been taking care of Irene Boyansky for a decade when she lost her eyesight and he pounced on the opportunity to steal from her. He began writing himself checks from her bank account, sending over $90,000 renting Lamborghinis, Porsches, BMWs, Audis, and Land Rovers. Another $43,000 went to upscale jewelry stores like Mayer's and Omega, while Ravello spent thousands more on paintball equipment, electronics, furniture, eyeglasses, and iTunes music.
She's just gonna get caught.
Then there's the $15,000 he spent on an upscale lingerie store agent provocateur. Ravello's purchase included nipple pasties, which run from $135 to $290 at the store. Damn.
Man, what the hell were these pasties made out of? Because don't pasties just cover the nipples?
Yeah.
I mean, not the nipples, but the areolas?
Yep. They include silver and gold star pasties and azalea pasties, which are lined with leather and tassels with sparkling black Swarovski crystals for a playful sense of movement.
Oh shit, these pasties giving a light show. What's happening here?
I mean, can you wear them more than once then? Because like the ones I see, like, you know,
yeah, one time.
Yeah,
they must be reusable. Must be, got leather.
Wear them with azalea play suit for sizzling showgirl effect, the site reads. He stole from her for 3 years, all the while mixing sleeping pills into her orange juice to keep her in a stupor.
Oh.
The caretaker even went so far as to impersonate her on the phone, impersonating a woman's voice and pretending that he was her grandson in a call to American Express. We noticed you haven't been paying the bill.
I haven't paid the bill.
Ma'am, something wrong.
Everything's okay. Just pay the bill.
Will you talk to my grandson? I give you permission to speak to him. I don't feel so good, she said. According to him. And then he threw in a few fake calls for good measure. He can also be heard giving an incorrect birthday and email address for her before correcting himself. It was Boyoski who discovered she was being scammed by the very man who had been hired to take care of her.
Yeah, because somebody with no finances was like, something ain't right.
She had her eyesight restored following surgery, and she looked at her.
Oh, shit. She looked at them zeros and them commas.
Saw them Steve Harvey eyes. He confessed to the purchases after his arrest, but claimed he only scammed her because he was being underpaid. Boyoski died at 88 of natural causes during the middle of the trial. She did not get to see the jury convict him of the money laundering, theft from the elderly, and the fraudulent use of identification. prosecutors plan to ask Ravello for the $500,000 in restitution. But for Beyonce's three sons and four grandchildren, the time they lost with their once energetic world traveler who moved to the U.S. from Algeria and could speak seven languages was priceless, right? He not only stole her money, but stole her time away from her family.
Kept her drugged up.
Yep. So guess the race of Eduardo Ravello, chat room. See what they believe. I'ma get all those pesos, gringo, Latino, says Nicole. He's a Latino. Them three sons and four grandchildren can shut up. They should have been paying attention. Ha! Come on, guys, that's cold as fuck. Latino man robbed her blind, shaking my head. White, says Shaya. The correct answer is He was Latino. And some of you missed it. And yeah, it's hard to, I mean, who knows how he was playing it off, because he was probably being like, oh nah, she you know, she's just really tired lately, and her family thought she was probably thought she was sick and all this shit, and right. It turns out this creepy motherfucker was drugging her and fucking her up, you know. Who knows what other kind of shit he could have been doing, man, and fucking up her money. Like, I would be livid, you know, because you pay this person to take care of her, and then it's not like you balance your grandmama's checkbook, you know what I mean? All right, let's go to Sword Ratchetness, everybody, and we'll wrap this bad boy up. Seems the show went pretty smooth today as we learn more and more of the functionalities. On here. apparently, crazy goes where the swords are. A customer grabbed a samurai sword in the LA cutlery store, threatened the staff, and barricaded himself inside for a 6-hour standoff with cops after the altercation with the security guard. Los Angeles Mall was put on lockdown Sunday night after a man armed with a samurai sword barricaded himself inside of a cutlery shop. The hours-long standoff began around 5:15 at the Japanese Village Plaza in Little Tokyo after the 45-year-old walked into the store, which sells swords, knives, and other decorative pieces, and grabbed a blade. The man is believed to have threatened a worker with a sword and after an altercation with a security guard as customers fled the store. The suspect was left alone in the shop when police surrounded it, starting a standoff that didn't finish until Monday morning. They have the police report. Let's see if we can play this.
This is First Street in Little Tokyo. We are just blocks away from LAPD headquarters and City Hall. All kinds of officers are now out here on the scene. Some of them are in SWAT gear, tactical gear, with helmets and high-powered rifles and bulletproof vests. That's their truck down there. We have seen all of this for several hours since about 5 o'clock. From what we understand, a man walked into a shop that we're told sells cutlery and knives and swords. He was acting very strangely, very erratically. He was calm at times, very aggressive at others. A security guard in that shop flagged down an officer who happened to be walking by. The officer approached the man. He appeared to be calming down and getting ready to leave the store, but then all of a sudden we're told he grabbed a sword and was very aggressive and very confrontational, so the police backed off. They evacuated the area. Everyone ran out of this area. They have called in special negotiators and mental health professionals. They believe this man is mentally ill. He is still inside that shop. He's all alone. From what we understand, these special negotiators are waiting outside. They are communicating with him through the front door. And again, this has been going on for several hours. In addition to all of this, a Japanese animation or anime convention is now underway at the LA Convention Center. A lot of people are in this area. They flocked to the downtown area from all over the country, if not all over the world. They were out here. They were in the middle of all this. Very surprised, of course, but nonetheless, they are watching from a safe distance. We will continue to follow this breaking story as it develops, bringing the latest very soon. From now, reporting live in Little Tokyo, I'm Chris Wolf. Back to you.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, that's typical, man. You sell swords. I mean, pretty much, you know.
They got it from that convention, didn't they? That anime convention. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's not like selling guns.
No.
Because with guns, like, somebody needs bullets. They need to be able to unload them. They need to get them from the display case, all this shit. When you sell swords, everything is already a weapon. Every sword is already loaded.
Yeah, we seen them at the comic thing here in Charlotte last year. And the bitches are heavy, and they sharp, and they cut.
Yeah. We'll be back.
They put them in a bag or sleeve or sheath.
Hmm?
When you purchase them,
mm-hmm.
Do they put them in a bag or a sheath? Would they be like, oh, here's your knife?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, and before we go, I want everybody to know, a lot of your favorite, podcasters are traveling and they're going around to a lot of, conventions and things that are happening. And I, wanted to show some support for Sterling and Quita because they've been raising money for a very long time to get to, over at the one in San Diego Comic-Con. And, they're, a little short. So if you can, guys, I want you guys to go support them so that they can make it, there. And cause I really do love them. They're one of my favorite podcasts. And I know that, Aaron from Black Astronauts, he's also raising money to get to Dragon Con. And so I know a lot of y'all want your favorite podcasters to go and cover these events and bring it to y'all. So if you can, just go and support them because y'all, they family to us.
No doubt. And that's a perfect way to end the show. We'll be back tomorrow. I guess will be our girl, Janelle.
Yes. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Janelle James, y'all. She back. So we'll be back tomorrow with Janelle and, we'll talk to you guys then. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.